Thank you for your loving kindness. Can we open our mouths and thank him for his faithfulness, his mercy, goodness since morning? Let's appreciate him. Our dear Father, I just want to appreciate you, give thanks to you. Let's appreciate God for how he has been helping us, assisting us, changing us for the better, meeting our needs, protecting us, watching over us. Oh, to you be all the glory. And if you're in any kind of issues, trials, count it all joy this morning. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to appreciate you. I declare my praise. The enemy is not having my praise. Jesus is Lord, and nobody else is. Thank you, Father, Lord. Give you glory. Give you honor. We gather at your feet tonight to receive your word, to be blessed through your word. Open our eyes. We know we are always learning. We are always going through. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Thank you for the things you are teaching us. Thank you for the fruit of your word in our lives. And thank you for making us to understand you more and more. For this, we give all the glory to you in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you grant us peace more and more in our neighborhood, in our city, in our state, in our nation. We want to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we pray for our leaders, those who are in charge over us. We ask that you give them wisdom and strength to do the needful concerning the city that we live in Jesus' name. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome. Please have your seat. Thank you for coming. I always appreciate people coming to church, particularly midweek service. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Hallelujah. Get your Bible. We are talking, you know, we started 3 weeks ago talking about, couple of weeks ago talking about Jesus in action. Remember? And then we got to the place where I was getting tempted, right? So we parked there and I said, let's study about temptation. Pastor Festus, you've changed your seat. All right. Okay. All right. Pastor Festus is always in service. He's a pastor of a church. And it's just been lovely, lovely man of God in Christ. Praise God. He doesn't want to talk about him like this. But I think he will get more reward for attending service in our church more than some other members. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So we park there, talk about temptations and trials. And then we spend some time to talk about biblical teaching about trials, face temptations. And then we now say, let's even look at the tempter. Am I right? That's where we are. You know, I'm just like you too. Reading my Bible, I when we are doing this kind of teaching, I enjoy it too because it's opening my eyes too. Let's go to Matthew 4. That's where we have been parking since. Hopefully, we will move on from there. But meanwhile, that's where we are, Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led up, not led down, led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Whenever the Spirit of God leads you, even if it's through trials, he's still going to lead you up. Praise God. That's nothing down in the Holy Spirit. It's always up. It's the Spirit of the highest. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Like somebody said, it will all end in praise. Am I correct? Praise is higher. So Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And every one of us over here, just like Jesus, will be tempted, tested, and tried. And the devil is the one who does that, not our Heavenly Father. The Father doesn't tempt anyone. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 12. Read that verse over there. James 1. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So if you are going through temptations, through tests, trials, whether spiritual, physical, emotional, financial, family, whatever test you are going through, he said if you endure, you take your stand, you don't budge, you hold on to the promises of God, he said you are blessed. For after you are approved, that means after you have passed the test, you will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, that's very encouraging. Praise God. What did I say? That's very encouraging. That means that this test you are going through, you are going to pass it. Amen? Amen? You will not stay there forever. Amen? I like that. You know, and the Lord has promised to you that you're going to have, just like when you finish exam and then you come out flying colors, could really be good. When you are coming out to shake the hands of Vice Chancellor or whoever it is, you're shaking their hands, collecting the certificate, it could be very interesting. But when you're having the exam, you don't eat properly and you don't dress well. Okay, now, but be very careful. Everybody, are you here? Yes, when you endure temptation, look at next verse. But let no one, please, can you look on the screen? Let no one say when he's tempted and tried and tested, I am tempted by God. God is not the one that is making life difficult and giving us a lot of things that are coming from the devil. For God cannot be what? Tempted by evil. Does himself tempt anyone? So it simply means this. God is on our side. But the tempter is against us. So if anybody's going to help us through our trials and temptations, God will do so. Let's clap our hands for God. Hallelujah. Amen. I love that. And it's not against me. It's not against me. It's for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Okay, so let's go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. We read, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. I love the next verse. Look at the next verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Look at the next verse. And now, when the who? What did you call him? The tempter came to him. So there is the tempter. And that's why we are studying. We are looking at the devil, the tempter. That's Satan. So we are doing some biblical teaching on Satan. Amen? Amen? Okay, and we roll on. We talked about this and this and this. Now, please listen to this. Please listen to this. Please listen to this. Everyone who is a child of God will have confrontations with the devil. No, that's not correct. Everyone who is a child of God will have confrontations with the devil. When I say confrontation, I don't mean the devil you see in drama that has two horns and long tail and carry pitching fork and say, hook, hook, I'll kill. I don't... It doesn't... That's not the way it comes. You are going to see that in the Bible. And people don't understand this, so they think that maybe they sleep at night, nightmares. It's worse than that. It's a daymare. This was not nightmares. Of course. Hallelujah. Of course, that devil can also come by that way, but let's study tonight. Let's go back to 12th chapter of Revelation, verse 8. We read that last week. 12 verse. Okay, let's start from verse 7 to make it clear. So, and war broke out. Do you have time? So we close by 10 p.m. I'll ask for him to come so that you just keep us here. I'm just joking. Okay, let's start from the beginning of that story so that if you just see, one of the problems I have is that I have to quote verses in between. And that's difficult because we don't see everything. Now, this book is called the book of what? Revelation. This book was given to John by Jesus through his angel. John was on an island, banished there, and Jesus sent this revelation to him by his angel. So he began to have this experience, and one of these experiences is this chapter 12, talking about the end time. And look at verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars. Can you imagine a woman? Go back. A woman, she's clothed with the sun. You know the sun? That must be bright and shining. And then she has the moon under her feet. Now, this cannot be ordinary, physical, natural woman. This is symbolic of something. It's speaking of something. The book of Revelation is full of all kinds of symbols that don't try and crack your head with it. Are we here? If you do, your head may crack. I always love to have some advanced classes. I wish one of these days I'll take us to Revelation, and then I don't understand everything there myself. But it's interesting to understand some things there. So she has on her head a garland of 12 stars. This must be not just ordinary woman, This looks like she looked like a nation. Let's keep reading. And then being with child, interesting, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Can you imagine this woman dressed up with the sun, moon under her feet? She got 12 stars on her head, and she's in labor, like in labor room, and in pain to give birth. Next verse. And her son appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having how many heads? Have you seen that before? No. 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. What's diadem? Find out. Next one. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, this giant dragon, red dragon, and threw them into the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as he was born. So here was this woman in this red thing, and then here was the dragon, the 7 heads, waiting to eat up her son. Next verse. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. So this is all symbolic thing going on. Are you here? Have I lost you? You see here? I see with the dragon and the woman. So you see, third person now, a child is born. Next verse. And then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God, and she should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 42 months, which means 3.5 years. Here, here, just don't worry, just follow. Wonder who is the woman? Wonder who is the dragon? Wonder who is the child? Wonder who has to run to? It can't be Nigeria. For 1260 days, there's no wilderness in Nigeria, that kind of thing. Let's keep reading. Then, next verse. And war broke out in heaven. So, this is what we're doing. And war broke out. So, after that situation was spoken about, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angel fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought. Okay, this dragon kind of thing, they fought. And what happened next? But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So this dragon was in the heavens, and with not heaven where God is staying. The Bible used about 3 places of heaven in the Bible. That's the heaven around us called the sky. Then there's the heaven of the outer space where the stars are. Then there's the third heaven where God himself lives. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Pastor, how do you know that? Paul said he went to the third heaven. He knew a man in Christ who went to the third heaven. So there's third heaven, there's second heaven, which is the skies, the stars, the outer space called the universe. Then there's the sky around our hearts. If you look at this, our heart in space, you will see like cloud around it, right? If you ever fly, if you ever flew by air, you go by air, you will see this cloud, beautiful around this, around the earth. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. That's where the rain comes from. So that's the first heaven. The second heaven is the universe out there. Then the third heaven is where God stays. So he said, did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in the heaven any longer. That heaven is the starry sky heaven. Hello? The sky around us. Yeah. That. But not, devil was not in heaven. So angel Michael came. Let's go back there now. Go back to verse 7. Are you here with me? And what broke out in heaven, in that place? Michael and his angel fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angel fought. What happened? They didn't prevail. Knocked them out. So this Michael must be an angel, a warring angel, a powerful angel who was a fighter. Hello? Are we here? Are we here? Okay. So, and devil was cleared out of the heavens. Now, I don't have time for you. The devil is living in the heavenlies now. Remember, Ephesians 6, verse 12. Let's go and read it. Put your hands in that place if you are opening your Bible. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verse 12. That's why this place is nasty. This is why this place is nasty, because there's something in the air. It's not normal. Are you hearing me? Something in the air that's inciting Ukraine and Hamas. That's creating thoughts that are not right in your head. Somebody is messing with your head sometimes. It's not your head actually doing all these things you are thinking you are doing. Okay, what I say we should open to. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness. Where? So they are in the heavenly places. They are not in heaven where God is staying, but the heaven, starry heaven around us, where the stars are. So they are in here. Let me show you another one more thing. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Go to verse 5. Take a look. Talking about let's go to verse 1. Help us. Are we here? Are we here? You wonder why there's so much evil on this planet? Just killing, destruction. Look at verse 1. And you, he made alive. Who were dead. See, before you came to Christ, you were dead spiritually in sin and trespasses. Next verse. In which you once walked according. Please, are you here? You once walked according to the course of this world. Everybody who is born into this world entered devil's university and start a course. As a course, everybody runs in this world. As a course, everybody's running. Not the course from heaven, but devil has plans for our lives too. To maim, to kill, and to destroy us. So, the moment you are born into this world, you join that course of this world. There are different departments, different faculties, but the same VC. So, they do drinking, and we do sin, they do all kinds of things. You have different departments, faculties. Now, he said, according to the, what? Look at this one. According to the prince of the power of the air. So, that's the air around us. It's teeming. If God open your eyes and you go on that road over there between here and the Jai, you will see more than human beings on the streets. You will see monkey-looking spirit, baboon-looking spirit, lion-looking spirit. They roam all over. I'm not scaring you. I'm just telling you the truth. Not cartoon. Are you hearing me? They roam around. They just look for things to do. They love to do evil. They love to destroy. They love to maim. They love to make life miserable. So he said, that's what we have. The spirit that now works in some of the so that's the prince of the power of the air. But one day, they'll be cleared out of that place entirely. Are you here? Right now, they are in the heavenly place. Now, right now, they are in the air. But one day, Angel Michael will come, clear them out. They'll be dumped here on the earth. That time, we will have gone by rapture. Are you following? They'll be dumped here. Let me give you some advanced level today. After they are dumped here, the devil will now take his authority and give it to a man that will look like Christ, called Antichrist. Are you hearing me? See, just like God gave all his authority to Jesus Christ to rule here. So the devil, when he's smashed down here, he couldn't go anywhere else again now. He will now shift all his base, probably to all Nigeria, will have gone. So now he will now transfer all his authority. It's the next chapter. I don't have time now. He will transfer all his authority, all his power to someone who will now give the world greatest government that he will want to deliver, and he will run for 7 years. After that 7 years, Jesus will come back, not coming for us now. He's coming back with us to deal with that Antichrist and knock this place off and clean it up. And there'll be 1,000 years of reign of Christ before heaven comes back. There'll be 1,000 years of reign of Christ in this place. Let's stop there, right? Is that right, Pastor? More? No. Let's go back to what we're talking about the devil tonight. Let's not talk about his future now. Let's talk about where we are right now. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Thank God for next year's budget. But what's the budget now? How much do I have from there? That's the question. So let's go further. So the devil, where's the devil now? It's in the air and in the heavenly places. Is that clear? They fly around. Some of them can fly. Some of them walk on the floor. Some of them move around. Some of them hold on to people, go around with them. Now, no Christian, no child of God has evil spirit in him if you're a child of God. He can come from outside and try to oppress and mess you up, but it's not inside of you. Greater is he that is in you. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So, let's now go and get through with this. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Now, where we are. Sorry. Chapter 12, verse 8, book of Revelation. That's where we got down there. Okay. not prevail, nor was the place found for them. Now, look at next verse. This is where I'm going. We are looking at the devil. Who is the devil? So, the great dragon was what? Cast out. That what? Let's look at his name. What do they call him? That serpent of old. What do you call him? Serpent of old. Called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, or his messengers. So let's look at the devil's name. They call him the serpent of old, the great dragon. Now, we saw that dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, remember? Red, fiery. Am I right? Are you here? Now, you see, between serpent and dragon, which one is bigger? Thank you. So, it began as a serpent crawling in the Garden of Eden. And over the years, he has assumed so much to himself that's now called the great dragon. That makes some sense? Are we here? Pastor, you're talking about the devil. Aren't you scared? To hell with the devil. Are you hearing me? We have to expose him to know who we're dealing with now. He's going to hell. And we're going to, I wish I would tell you. See, anytime devil's demanding of your past, reminding him of his future. You hear what I'm saying? When he says, you did that, did that, did that, just tell him, you got a future where you are going. I wish I would tell you about that. We get it in there. We see devil's future. Why we finally finish his mission. All right, let's move on. So we have the serpent of old called the devil, and what do you call him again? Satan. The word devil means evil at its absolute sense. Are you here? How many of you remember physics? How many of you did physics over here? Can I say you did physics? Remember what they call absolute temperature? Minus 273 degrees centigrade. Is the lowest, is the coldest. You can't go below that. Nobody has ever reached it. I think so. So it's like that is the lowest you can go. So in the same way, are we here? When we say the word the devil, it means the absolute manifestation of evil. There is nothing good. There's nobody evil on this planet. There's not something good in them. Even the armed robbers pay their children's school fees. Are you hearing me? And let me make you laugh. One time, some thieves went to a friend's house. Are you listening? Some thieves went to a friend's house. And while two of them were stealing, second one caught the other one, hiding the money that he should have shared. I started beating him. I said, Oli. I started beating him. I was told, it's true stories. I'm not lying. I'm not lying. I'm not lying. That's true. You know. I didn't hear that. A thief. You know, they are stealing. A thief. They are both bunch of thieves, you know. You must be fairly disputed. Okay, are we here? So we have the devil. That's why the devil cannot be saved. He cannot be redeemed. There is no desire of goodness in him. Pastor, will the devil repent one day? He can't repent. He can't. He doesn't want to do that. He can't do that. He's the absolute evil. We see that in a minute. And the word Satan means adversary, the prosecutor, the interrogator, the one who's always doubting, the cynic one that never trusts anything good. It's the highest form of doubt in the universe. So we have him, and his main job is to deceive, to make truth look like lies and lies look like the truth. Like I said last week, is the first fake news maker. Fake news. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus was talking about him over there in Message Bible. John 8:44, Message Bible. Was talking about the Pharisees, following the devil. You are from your father, the devil. And all you want to do is please him. What did he say? He was a killer from the very start. Listen, he was not the victim of murder. He was not the killed. He was the killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. Not even a shred. When the liar, see that word, the liar, speaks, he makes it up out of his lying nature and fills the world with lies. Does that make some sense? Let's look at Amplified Bible Classic. Amplified Bible Classic. Let's look at it. You have your father, the devil, and it's your will to practice the lust and gratify the desire which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural. Natural herbs to him. For he's a liar himself and the father of lies and of all that is false. Are we here? Now, the reason why we have been offered redemption and salvation is because we were not absolute evil. We never originated evil. Adam and Eve did not conceive evil. They were deceived by the deceiver himself to follow the path of evil. So that's why God is offering human race salvation. Because we were not designed, we were not created as evil. We were made good, and God puts a tree of good and evil as a point of obedience. And when we disobeyed that, but that was not done by intention, done by influence. Do you see the difference? See the difference? Thank you. All right, so that's the devil. So let's go back and do some. I want to go through the Bible and let's see some things about the devil. And first of all, he said he called him the serpent of old. And that's Genesis 3. Let's go down there. I said last week that if you are going to understand the Bible, you have to understand the first three books in the Bible. The first three books in the Bible explain everything. Is the foundation where the whole Bible rests. Now wait. If there was no Genesis 3, the fall, we will not have all this we are facing today. If Adam and Eve never failed God, if we never failed, we will not be here today talking about this. We won't talk about the blood of Jesus. We won't talk about salvation. There will be no church. There will be no church. Of course, there will be gathering of God's people. It won't be like, obviously, there will be no temptation. There will be no evil on this. Can you just imagine that? It's unimaginable. Hallelujah. You know, you will never know what it is to be free, really free, until you die, physically, or Jesus comes. See, those who have died, when they step out of their body, if they are Christians, that's a kind of a freedom that they feel that it will take serious, serious maturity to want to come back here. I mean, if you are given a visa to US or stay in Nigeria, some of you won't pray. You will not pray. Pray, okay. Pastor, am I praying, Lord? I want Lord. You know. Praise God. But can I remind you? Someone just came back from US, was telling me, he was with a church member. You know what he told that person who traveled to US? He said, what has never happened to me in Nigeria, bad things happened to me in US. But let's leave that alone today. Go there. We'll be praying for you. You come back safe, sound. Amen. All right. Where are we? We're talking about the devil and that he cannot see redemption. Let's look at. Somebody said, why did God allow evil on this planet? That's a wrong question. God didn't allow it, Adam and Eve allowed it. Now, I know the next question. Why did God allow Adam and Eve to allow evil? You think like that? You know why? Because they are adults. They are adults. They are not babies. Adults are given chances. And so why did God allow the devil to come to Adam. Because the devil came to God and Adam and Eve are his children. So they must know about the devil too. Are we here? Now, God didn't make them to experience evil. He put a tree in the garden and he said, don't eat it. That should remind you that something evil is somewhere. The second, he said, they should dress the garden and keep it. So somebody wants to take that garden and mess it up. Am I right? I won't give you a gun and tell you to keep your house if there are no thieves and robbers around. Am I making some sense? So God didn't invite the devil to come here because the devil is out there. God told Adam, you're going to experience him. Just like the devil came to Jesus too. So let's know that it is not, but why did they fall? You should ask Adam and Eve when you get to heaven. You should not ask God that question. Because God is not going to make the choice. Is that right? Maybe I should ask like this. Why did God allow your mom and your dad to meet you and marry you and give birth to you? Who can answer that question? I don't know. But you're already here. Praise God. Now, some things about the devil will not get very clear. I don't understand everything. But Bible gave us some light about him, his work, what he does. When Adam sinned in the garden, what he did, I want to show you today. You see, what Adam did, when God made this world, he gave Adam something important. Please listen to this. Genesis 1, 26. I'd like you to look at this verse in your Bible with a new, fresh perspective. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have what? Dominion over the face of the sea, over the breast of the air, over the cattle, over how many? All the earth. Now, let's go to this verse in Amplified Classic in our Bible. Take a look. I love this. Now, please take a look at this verse. It's important. Now, it says, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image after our likeness. Let them have what? Complete. That's what they call dominion. Now, if God gives complete authority, then nothing is left over for himself. Boo. Some of you don't believe that. You don't want to. God, on this planet, God gave to Adam complete authority. So he left nothing for himself. He didn't give ownership of the earth to. For instance, when you rent out a house to somebody, he has complete authority in that house for the next 1 year. You don't keep second key and be going there. Do you? You don't go behind him, enter the house, pick some things and get out. You say, what happened? He will call you a thief, right? Pastor, I don't believe that. Alone, say, alone, one, charge of everything. You are right. Why can't he control you? I don't like to get to this. I don't like to get to this, but let's say it. Let's say it in a very nice way. I say, God can make anybody do anything. Why can't he make you pay your tithe? That's true, you know. That's what he says. I want to make you pay your tithe. You know, you could do that to him now. So God, you know, if God goes around as a police, all of us will be dead by now. Why does he do that? So he gave Adam and Eve complete authority. So he left nothing for himself. Wow. That's why he couldn't just come down and say, Adam, don't touch it. Eve, don't do that. No, don't do that. You just have to watch, you know. Because it's highly democratic. Like Buhari, remember? You know, he said, I'm democratic. Whatever happens in the house, Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God is irresponsible. But God gave that to man. And that authority is so... That's why you see good is so slow, evil is so fast and widespread. Am I correct? Look around you. It's as if God is helpless sometimes. Yeah. Man is in charge here. Psalm 115. Come and see. This is help us. If you get this sorted out, it will really help us. Psalm 115. Hallelujah. Something we're going to say tonight that will help us. and understand Psalm 115. Let me open there. Are we there? Okay, let's read the verse over there. Verse 16. 115, 16. The heaven, even the heavens are what? But, please look up. But the earth, he has given to who? So he's given us the earth. One day our list will run out. But right now, the list is still on. When somebody's over your house for 5 years, you have to just hold on till the next 5 years is finished before you can take your house back. Are we here? That's why, remember when the devil, when Jesus crossed the sea with a madman of Gadarene, remember that madman? And the devil said to Jesus, why do you come to torment us before the time? Check it out. And the devil said to Jesus, don't send us out of this environment. Huh? He said, don't send us out of this environment. We don't torment us before the time. And Jesus allowed them to go into the pigs. And the pigs entered the sea, so they were back into that same area. After the pigs entered the sea, they were still back in the air, but no more possessing that man. Are you listening? Some of you, I am not saying God is powerless. Don't get me wrong. Now, that's why we have to pray. Now, listen, this is important. That's why we have to pray now. Prayer is inviting God on the scene. Because he has given us authority, so he's inviting. That's why you have to pray. Because if you don't pray, God has no right to move in. Because you have the authority. So, you got it? Are you here? Okay, let's go a step further. Now, God gave that complete authority, not the ownership. You know, it's like this. I rent you a shop and you can sublet. Am I right? Huh? If I give you this whole building to rent from me, I can. If I give you 10-year lease, I can go to that building. If I don't have enough money, I can divide it up and say, please, other people can come and sublet. Am I right? So what actually Adam did when he bowed his knee to Satan and agreed with him. Now listen. The greatest crime was not by Eve. Hello? Are we here? I wish I'd talk about the fall. I wish I have time. We'll do that one of these days. The greatest evil was not by Eve. Eve was deceived. But Adam was not deceived. What? 1 Timothy 2. Because Adam is the federal head. He has the deputy, the wife. Let's go. 1 Timothy 2. Are you there? Verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell. Ah, Pastor Koyemi. Now, wow. The devil went to the woman, not to Adam. If you want to cause commotion, don't go to the top guy. If you want to cause division, don't go to the top guy. So, Eve was deceived. That means she didn't get hold of the truth very well. And she was carried by it and she ate the fruit. But Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Wow. But he chose to eat it, maybe not to lose wife. You see, Adam knew exactly what he was doing, but he wanted to go along with his wife. And he took that, it's like you're about to have an accident, and then you agree with the person that's about to have the accident, let's have the accident. But you know what the accident will cost you. So Adam knew what was happening. Eve was deceived. Then he took it, and That's what brought the biggest thing. So when that happened, as the federal head of the human race, he handed over the authority, not the ownership of the planet, to the devil. Now, the devil now became the prince of this world, the ruler of this world, because of Adam's sin. Boo. Now, see, people don't get this. We sing one song. He's got the whole world in his hand. That is true to an extent, in the sense that he's the owner and he's making everything to work. The bio, the ecological system, God is making. But God is not governing this planet. Guess who is governing here? 1 John 5, verse 18. Let's look at it in the Bible. 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Does not touch him. Next verse. Wow. Please, can you look up, everybody? Look at this verse. Please look at this verse. We know that we are of God, and what? And the whole world lies under what? You can now understand the politics and the economy. There's no food shortage on this planet. But why are the prices going up all the time? Why is it that the bad boys are the ones governing? There must be a force behind it, not just God. Oh, okay, if God was just doing everything, some of these guys, let's not call their names, will not be in power. Right? Right? Give me this verse in NIV. NIV. Oh, take a look. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under what? The control. That's why it is easier to do evil than to do good. Deception and the devil want to us to do what is bad. Anybody here who has been conscientious to want to do things right, you will sense this force against you. You will sense this force to stand up at your workplace to be honest. Why? You find this force against you, you want to be upright. Why? People don't want to hear the truth. Why? It's just more than what we see. That's a force, sinister force that is working behind the scene. And that sinister force one day will be humanized. It's called Antichrist. It's the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. That whole evil that is behind the scene will transfer all that authority that the devil had, like I told you some time ago. He will give it over to Satan, because one day the angel will come and clear him out of the heavens, which we read before, and Satan will be down here. And when he got down here, the Bible says he will stand by the sea, and the man will come, the man of sin, and he will hand over to him all authority, just like God handed over to Jesus all his authority. And he will rule for 7 years. And then Christ will come. Okay. So, I'm trying to say that. So, the devil, let's now go to the book of Job, where we stopped last week. Understand this. I hope you're learning something. You know, this is where sometimes when we talk about we have rights as Christians, please listen to this. We say we claim our rights. You know why we have to? God is not our problem. Huh? You don't talk about, my sister is here, she's a lawyer. You talk about rights and enforcing rights because somebody wants to mess things up. I mean, you don't go and enforce your rights with your daddy, who is loving, who is kind. He already recognizes your right and wants to bless you. He's working for your right. You don't have to talk about rights. You talk about benefit and blessings. But when you have rights and things like that, somebody wants to mess you up and want to take your land. Am I right? And Christians think that it's just about God. It's just more than God and you on this planet. There's an enemy out there. It's called the thief. Praise God, somebody. Are we here? I'm not trying to scare. I'm just telling the truth. And see, he has been authorized by Adam to have some sense of rulership here. Let's look at Luke 4. We'll go to Job next few minutes. Luke 4. Take a look at this. Same story about temptation is there too. You know, sometimes this is difficult just to, you know. With Jesus' power, what's the devil see running around doing all kinds of things? Jesus' power, super power, avalo power, powerless power. He's running around doing all kinds of horrible things. Why? Because it's out there. The control is until that day. I don't really talk about the future of the devil, but let's look for. Are we there? Look for. Are we there? Are we there? Verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, that's Jesus, showed him all the kingdoms of this world. Saudi Arabia, US, Russia, China, the Red Dragon, Australia, Canada, their offices and their pageantry. So they just showed him like that, the films. Next, look at next verse. Can you look up? And the devil said to him, take a look. What did he say? I just told you. All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? If it's God, we will never forgive God. We'll never forgive God. If God gave the devil the authority over the human race, God should go to jail and never come out. God should be written off and nobody should believe in him. But God is not the one who gave it to him. Adam, when God gave him complete authority, when Adam bowed his knee, he submitted all that he had to the person. Like now, when you become somebody's servant, all that you have as a servant belongs to your master, right? Remember that story I told you? Remember that story about one man who had only one son? He was very, very rich. And when he died, he wrote his will and he said his son should only take one thing and the servants will take everything else. He was so angry until he went for counsel. But when he was counseled, well, the day of giving out property, he came with a brother dancing. And he danced. Everybody said, what's wrong with you? Only one thing. He said, you know, my dad said I should take only one thing, and I'm glad I said that, so I take this chief servant. You get that? When he took the chief servant, all the servant had is under his influence. So the devil didn't come to Cain. He didn't come to Seth. He didn't come to Abraham. He came for the jugular. He went for the federal head himself. And that one handed it over to him. He said, all this authority I will give you. Now, let me say something. This will sound really way out. So simply means that the governments are not usually given out by God. Did you just say that? I mean, if God just giving out these things, there won't be any election tribunal. There won't be any kind of changing vote, right? There won't be any kind of certificate scandal. Why is it that our leaders have a problem with certificate? Why is it that Trump is the one that is looking for how to change the election? Why is it that Putin is in power? Why is that thug is over China? Think about it. Oh, that changing Chung, not Korea. He's just crazy making missiles. People won't be fed. You think God put him there will question that God's credibility and his intelligence. So he said, all this authority I give you and the pastor, that's why we have to pray so that we can hold them at bay so they won't destroy us before the time. Are you making some sense now? Pastor, we've been praying, praying. They never stop. They won't stop. We keep on praying. And hold them at bay. Just hold them. It's just like malaria. At malaria, you can't remove all the mosquitoes. So what do? We give you some. And when you get malaria, even with anti-malaria, what do? We give you some more. Am I right? Then we buy you nets. Huh? With all the nets, as it's not malaria. No, we keep. We say, okay, we won't take any net anymore. We won't take anti-malaria. We all perish. Pastor, why would this prayer stop? By the way, why will we stop breathing? Pastor, I can't stop breathing. Thank you. So, you know why now? That's why you say it's so difficult to change things. Because the power is in the wrong hands. Power must change hands. Have you heard before? Huh? Okay. So that's what's happening over there. And I give it to whomever I wish. And Jesus never disputed him. My friends, they all pray about Nigeria. They've been praying. Nigeria will become like U.S. Nigeria will be like Canaan, our promised land. I say, Emeko, Nigeria's our problem land. America's our problem land. UK's our problem land.
Pastor, there's still trouble in UK.
Go stay there for 5 years. You come and tell you another story entirely. You'll be enjoying some things. One of the things you will endure is everywhere. Praise the Lord. Like one brother, you know, you just go down there, he's a highly star, he's a senior level person. So you know, he just come and say, Reverend, I don't understand. They are taking my money too much for tax. I said, I said, Jesus said, pay tax. What are you going to do? Huh? Then you take your children to school, and they will say Christianity, no good. And they take your children for excursion to Buddhism temple. Nigeria, ati debeyin. Praise the Lord. You know, you can go to anywhere, any hospital, any school in Nigeria, and say, praise the Lord. Even the unbelievers will say, hallelujah. You go to some of these places abroad, you say, praise the Lord. You say, anything? They've gone too far beyond that. Are you listening, everybody? So everywhere has its own problem. And the devil has authority in this world until Jesus comes. Do we understand that? Do we get that? Now, what about us? We are different. We are here. And we have to use our power of embassy, authority of Christ, to rule over here. Does that make some sense? But until then, we have to keep on going. Is that all right? Are we here? Now, let's go a step further. Book of Job. Let's see. You see, you know why we are giving the book of Job? Anybody, are you here today? Are you here? How many of you have read the book of Job before? If you have read the book of Job, you don't get it because you think it's talking about now. No, it's not talking about now. You see, the very first person that had to deal with the devil was Adam. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me here? Now, in the book of Job, we find God, after Adam's fall, picking up the best man of this planet to face the devil. Job was the best man of this planet before Abraham. First, Pastor, the book of Job, when was it? The book of Job is almost the oldest book in the Bible. Do you know why I said so? You will never see any reference about Moses, Abraham, Jacob, and Israel, or Promised Land, or Canaan. You never see it there. I mean, you never see talking about Chronicles, and Temple, and Salvation, and carrying Ark of God. No! Are we here? The book of Job was the oldest book in the Bible, and the book of Job was explaining God's greatest card after Adam to face the devil, and he failed. They said in the book of Job 14 verse 1, take a look. Book of Job 14 verse 1. Book of Job 14 verse 1, quickly. Man who is born of woman is what? A few days and full of trouble. They never quoted, you know, Job never referred to anything of the law of Moses, never spoke of any prophets. Am I right? So it was a kind of a very primitive book. In fact, the word they used for God is Shaddai. That was the common word they used for God in time of Abraham. So it was the oldest story in the Bible. And why was it the oldest story? Job verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Take a look. And I want to show you, God used Job's story to show us what devil does on the planet. And second, what is his mission? And what is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? There was a man, give me in King James Version. Okay, come and see. There was a man in the land of Uz. Nobody knows why that Uz is still today. It's quite oldest thing. Whose name was who? Now that word Job itself means afflicted. The word Job means afflicted or persecuted. Oh, interesting. Let's keep reading. And that man was what? So, this is the perfect specimen after Adam. And upright. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, in the midst of all the mess that the devil had created, there was still a man that was following and trying to locate God and walk with God. And he was perfect. He knew how to take care of all the issues. Next verse. And they were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He got 10 kids. And the kids were a problem for him because though he was perfect, but his children were not perfect. So he had to keep on trying to make them take care of their life. Let's keep reading. So his substance also was 7,000 sheep. Now think about 5, 7, or 8, or 9, 10,000 years ago when the world was just starting. For someone to accumulate 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, it's like having 3,000 granite trucks. 3,000, that's like Dangote with all his trucks. And 500 yoke of oxen, 500 sea asses, and very great household. That means his household is as big as this city. It's the greatest in the land of the east. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. The east is where, east of Eden, that's where the whole world started from. So this was the perfect specimen after Adam messed up. That this guy was the goodest guy. You know that? Goodest, you understand? This is the goodest one I have to offer. Let's keep reading. Hey, by the way, if you're a secondary student, don't use that language. It's for those of us who are past my egg. We are past my egg. That's all like goodest. I passed my wife. I can only make English. Okay. And his sons went and feasted in their houses. Everyone is there. And sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. You're just bedroom. You're just enjoying themselves. Next verse. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent, sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned while they were drinking and talking and eating, and caused God in their heart. Thus did Job come. He was cleansing, he was making ways, he was doing everything to see that his papers were correct to go to US. He never crossed, without crossing his T or dotting his I, he's doing everything right. Next verse. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them. See that word, sons of God? We shall have time to talk about that. That's not Christians who are born again. Talking about angelic orders that were over issues and things in God. But I don't have time today to talk about that. Look at next verse. And Satan came also among... Go back. Now, why did Satan come among them? He's been expelled from God. He's no longer with... But he now comes in for Adam. Adam should be one of them that are governors and ruling. This is Psalm 82. But let's go and read it, Psalm 82. Sons of God. Give us in King James. Psalm 82 verse 1. Sons of God. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. These are mighty guys. And he judges among the gods. Oh, I thought there were no gods. But these gods, what's that? Sons of God. Let's keep reading. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? See, here was this God among these gods who are like governors ruling things. And God said, you're not doing things right. They were rulers. They were governors. Let's keep reading. Still, defend the poor and fatherless to do justice to the afflicted and needy. Next verse. Let's quickly run. Our time is running. Next verse. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk on in darkness or the fashion out of course. Next verse. I've said you are gods, and all of you are what? Now, Jesus was quoting this verse. Everybody, are you here? Are you here, everybody? Christ was quoting this verse, and he says, God says you are gods unto whom the word of God came. Now, I know I'm going to A level now, so I should just get away from it. You are not even understanding yourself yet. Let's go back to Job 1. So these are rulers. And because Adam should have been there, the devil was now there because he had authority of Adam with him. Like he told Jesus, climb up, I'll show you your authority. Next verse. Look at what happened next verse. The Lord said to Satan, let's leave King James. You give us trouble, tongue-twisting language. Let's go back to LKJV. From where do you come? From where do they come? From where do you come? Satan answered the Lord, see that kind of effrontery, and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth. Did you see what happened in Burkina Faso and what happened in Niger? Those touts, forgive me, those boys, soldiers, took over, became the president, and then ECOWAS refused. They are going after them. He said, yeah, go ahead. They all calm down now. They don't want to fight. And you know what? Those boys are going to go to the United Nations and go down there like thugs. They're going to enter because they are representing their country. Am I right? And small, sooner or later, Tinubu will shake their hands as the president of Niger. There's nothing on anybody. His own election is doubtful. You know, there are two types of coup. There are two types of coup. There's a civilian coup, there's a military coup. Civilian coup is that when you round up your votes and turn it around, that's civilian coup. You know, who was vehement against these people most? Let me tell you, who was the fight that was fighting this most is the Ivorian president, Ouattara. Ouattara has been there for almost 16 years now. He's not leaving the place. So when they heard about the coup, he was scared himself and was pushing Tinubu, attack them. Because if they get way over there, they've got way to Guinea, they've got way to Mali, they've got way to Burkina Faso, they're coming to Niger. Next door is where I came from, the Ivory Coast. Close. Zip. From going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth in it. See, the devil came and said, Lord, it's not my place. And I'm coming, going up and down there. God said, shut up! What are you doing over here? You have to allow that because God is democratic. He gives them the authority. They give somebody else. What will you do with that? If I give you a car and you give your friend to a car and I saw the car with your friend, I can just watch and just be looking because what if we? Papers have been transferred, right? Thank you. Have you been there before? Give somebody a gift. And the way you use it, they use it makes you angry. What are you going to do? just be watching. You can't do anything. Next time, don't give them again. Right? Walking back and forth on the earth. Now, let's go. Next verse. Have you seen, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Hey, look. This is where we're going. He said, I'm Job. You're not Job at all. Oh, qualify. Yeah, I'm suffering as Job. He won't. No, it's not suffering. Something is not here. Sometimes you say, no suffering, no joke. He said, there is no like him on the earth. KJV says, a perfect, give me King James Version. There's no like him on the earth, King James Version, quickly. A perfect, when God says you are perfect, oh no, you think you're perfect, you think you're rich, or you go somewhere in Lagos, and you see how this is Banana Island, you go and lock up your house and travel. God said, perfect, an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. God was boasting about him, the perfect man on the earth after Adam. See, God got a point he wanted to prove over there. For none of us is righteous. But God wanted to prove to us that. See, that's the fight. It's more than just God just trying to kill Job and take all his animals. No. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. After Adam fell, nobody can rise. Even if you're trying to be perfect, you can't make it. Let's keep reading. Okay? So, Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Now, we are seeing the devil in his nature now and his function. He's the persecutor, he's the accuser, he's the adversary. He's the one who stands against us and all we stand for. So every time the thoughts, the feelings, the things about you driving you down, making your life miserable, is never Jehovah God. See, God was boasting about Job, but devil was blasting Job. Can you see that? Those blasting thoughts, those things telling you cannot make it, that's not God. Those things confusing you, those thoughts, those feelings, they are not from God. They are from the evil one. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Praise God. And see, girl, boy, you have to stand up in your heart. You have to be bold and say, God is for me sometimes. You have to just take it, even in your mess. Are you hearing me? See, this guy was perfect. He was fighting fought with him. He said, does Job fear God for nothing? He's telling God, we just can hang around here. You can like it. Let's look at next verse. What is it? Have you not made a edge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? So we are learning something from the devil now. He's telling God what God was doing. And that's true. God is putting edge around you, around your household. Will you clap your hands for God, somebody here? Job, see, God was God. God, see, it's a pastor. If God put edge around me, why did that bad thing happen to me? You better keep quiet. It would have been worse than that. Are you hearing me, somebody? Like one guy went to go and meet a pastor during that thing that happened in Louisiana. Hurricane I don't remember that time. America that was sweeping the whole New Orleans that filled up everywhere. This guy went to go and say, Pastor, God said, he preserved my life. Why did you do it? He said, shut up. God did. You lost property, but God did preserve your life. You are still alive now. He said, all right, I agree. See, God is putting edge around us. God is doing things. He's telling God, you put edge around him. You know how many have died today? You know how many people have turned away from Christ today? You are still alive and in Christ. Can you clap your hands for the God of heaven? Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. He said, you have blessed the work of his hands. So that's God. You are blessed and his possessions have increased in the land. I don't know about you. This thought come to me. When I seem to have more things going for me, I'm telling myself, I hope I'm still in God's house. It's as if when you have things getting better for you, it's as if God is telling you, you are competing with me. Are you hearing me? He said, you bless him. You put him in edge around you. Let's keep reading. Next verse. Now, do what? But now stretch out your hand and touch him all that he has. And surely curse you to your face. So what is he doing now? He's saying, God, don't trust him. God, it's not reliable. It's because what he's getting, that's why he's here. If you don't give me any money anymore, if you don't bless me anymore, you will always stop. That's why I don't like the song. Lord, I don't want to see your hand. I don't want your hand. I come for your face. You're just listening to the wrong person. One time my wife and I were hearing one song like that. What's the song now, if you remember that? I said, no, I don't like to hear that. Remember the song? Singing about, I'm not here for blessing. Are you here for a curse? Huh? I just want to meet you. I don't want the blessing. No, I want the blessing. I want God. Because God is a blessed God. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, all those. I know that we are trying to be sincere and say that I'm not worth anything. But that's Yorubanish. Hello? That's just a human kind of a thing. God, I want everything. You and all that you have. That's why I'm here. You know why I'm going to heaven? It's a nice place. You know I don't want to go to hell? It's a bad place for me. It's not because I'm not perfect. Are you hearing me? But I like what is good. Anybody like what is good over here? Thank you. So, stretch out your hand, telling God, and touch all that he has. Look at this verse. I love this. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in what? Under your power. Only don't lay a hand. God still said, I have, you want to contest over his life? Let's contest. Now, listen, God knew that Job will fail. But Job will fail successfully. Let me show you what I mean by that. Job, when he gets under pressure, he will question God, but he won't curse God. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. You got that? Job will question God. He will say question, but he won't curse God. He never cursed God. He never said, God, you are. He didn't. He said, God, I don't understand. Why are you beating me up? Why are you doing me like this? I wish I have somebody between us that can settle this quarrel. It's in the book of Job. He said to God, I wish I can have a referee that can blow whistle on God and blow whistle on me, but I don't have. But let's keep on reading. I want to show you now Satan's work. Are we ready? See, God is the one putting edge around him. God's the one blessing his household. God's the one giving you all that success, all that blessings, all that advancement is from God. Tell your neighbor, everything I have that is good is from God. Tell him, every sad moment is not from my father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, Satan went out from where? back to his work on the earth. Look at next verse. This is where we are going. Now, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking. Where? In their older brother's house. Next verse. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen, how many did he have? The 5,000 oxen or something? Were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. Next verse. When the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed, they have killed the servant with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, who is working here now? So, who is behind the bandits and the raiders? Not God. Who is kidnapping here? Not God. We know who is at work. I mean, think about it. This guy is so bad, the devil, he removed everyone, killed everyone, left one person to go and give the report, clear report to Job, to Sophai. If he had asked for somebody else, he wouldn't have known. But he came, said to one person who had seen everything, said, go and tell Job. Sometimes I think that's why we have CNN. Sorry, all these papers. They are the ones that go down there, hear everything, come and tell us. And do like this and tell us. And they never see cars have been passing this way since, and they have no accident. No reporters there. The moment one car tumble, camera start flowing. Camera. They start running, commenting from there. CNN will come down there, the bigger it is. And then they start repeating it. I start repeating it from this angle. You know where they are camping now? They are in Gaza now. They are in Gaza. If you know how many cameras are in Gaza, Taba get Meji at one church. Oh, see, just magnify evil. Just get. Just let. Hey, we go here in Russia. Hey, Ukraine, Hamas. Next one, where? Okay. Next verse. So, band raiding, kidnapping, killing. Wiping out your enemy, destroying your, wiping out your substance, making your business not go forward. Look at next one. While he was still speaking, that fire came in, and I also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven. That fire is not fire of God. See that now? Devil will orchestrate authorized disasters. Look at this rain falling beyond level and destroying houses. It's not from God. Just want to make us miserable, never have rest. And burn up the sheep and the servant and consume them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. You know what? In insurance, they will write the act of God. Like when lightning hit your house and destroy your property, or like something happened, the mudslide or earthquake, they will write the act of God. God has gone berserk. Get out of his way. And they are very smart. They say, act of God, we cannot ensure that one. You know, good things, they won't call it the act of God. But bad things, they call it the act of God. So you see that now? So we can see the devil is the one moving on the on nature to afflict and inflict men. That's why Jesus, in the midst of the storm, rose up and rebuked it. Remember that? Some things you have to rebuke. Natural disasters that will come. You just have to just say, no, I won't take that. This won't wipe me out. No, you just kind of fold your hand and say, that's what's been happening. Jesus got up and rebuked it. If that storm was the act of God, then Son of God was rebuking God. Am I making some sense? Next verse. Let's jump quickly. I'm just tracing this so you can see. While he was still speaking, and I also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels. Now, what who put the thought in armed robbers to come to people's houses? It's the devil. Injure and many people and walking away with their properties. That's not God. The thought in their head to go do all those things is not from Jehovah God. Am I making some sense here today? No doctor who is sensible will ever see somebody who is in pain and say, God is at work. I mean, everything the doctor clock requires sickness and disease. You want to help them get something to, I mean, get the best drug in town to see that they are well. Am I right? And then, you see doctors act like that, and you see pastors say, you know, sickness is the will of God. How can you dare say that? How can you dare say that? It cannot be the will of God. That same pastor, see, sickness, the will of God, will go to a hospital to go and see the doctor. Huh? You know what I'm saying? You got it? I mean, if it's the will of God, how don't you enjoy it? If it's the will of God, then all medical careers, they are against the will of God. Let's keep on reading. Next one. While he was still speaking, Allah also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their brothers' houses. What happened? And listen to this. Next verse, quickly. Let's go. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. See that? God never planned that mosquitoes would give us malaria. He never planned. Nature, the fall, wounded the old creation and mess it up so that all this is going on crazy. It's not God. It's not God's will for all those things to happen. This devil manipulating and evil spirit doing things, working on our genetic makeup, working upon our body, working upon our lives, and messing up our head. Let's keep on reading quickly. Our time is really running. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head. Don't forget, Job didn't know what you know now. There's nothing about the law, the prophets. There's nothing about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, listen to this. Job, after hearing that, he arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshiped. Fantastic. Let's keep reading. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I return there. The Lord gave. Now, you are looking at it from two levels now. You can see from this level of Job now, he's saying, no, he didn't see God. He's saying that God gave him that, and the devil is taking it. He didn't see that. We are the ones saying that today. But from the level of Job, it was like, I see, and he didn't blame God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Next verse. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Please, are we here? That's round one. That's round one. So, next chapter, verse one. Again, there was a day when, Pastor, why is the devil on Job's case like this? He's number one, man. Don't forget that. He was number one. Next verse. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Please follow this verse again. Satan answered to the Lord, said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. Next verse. Oh boy, oh boy. Can you see God not feeling so happy today? Think about it. Can you just a little bit, there's some kind of feedback a little bit, just reduce the gain. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still holds fast. I mean, here you are, I can see God sitting on the throne. Still hold fast, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. God's not happy. I'll surprise you. God is not happy when a dog dies. God's not happy when a cat dies. On the jocular level now. God's not happy when you kill all those things you are killing around your house. You know, I had a treat for my mom. I can't kill chicken. I can't kill things. You know, my mother just couldn't stand. She will raise them. My mother's still raising chicken till today, but she will never get there to kill them. So I got a treat from her. I don't kill anything. I really can't kill anything. When I see a rat or something, ant going, I just feel sorry. That if I kill you, I don't just feel so bad. If you do like that, turn the neck like that. Oh, you know, I'm just showing something about this. My mother, I can't forget this. It's just still to my mind. My father's house was having a house next door where they built, but they built so close between the walls that there was this narrow road over there. a narrow space between them. And one day, one of my mother's chicken entered that hole. And we just started to get it and get going. And it was tearing all his flesh. You know, that my mother and I, it was so much on our mind. We couldn't eat chicken for days. Now, don't get me wrong. I eat chicken. Now. But what I'm saying is that every living thing came out of God. Are you hearing me? Let me show you something about Job. Let's go to Jonah. Can we go to Jonah? Find the last book, chapter of the book. Jonah is difficult to find, but just start opening. They find it for us. Give us the last chapter in Jonah. Is it chapter 3 or chapter 4? Book of Jonah. Can you find last chapter, chapter 4? Give us the last two verses. Okay, good. Uh-huh. But the Lord said, can we go? Give us verse 7. Verse 1. Now, when God spared, please, are we here? I need to start rounding up here. When God spared Nineveh because Jonah preached, something came up in the subconscious of Jonah. Many of you today, you look at Jonah and say, Jonah didn't want to go and preach. It's deeper than that. God sent Jonah to Nineveh that was the arch enemy of Israel. The Ninevites will come, kill the Israelites, take their women, slash their womb open, take their children, smash their head on the wall. Ninevites. Then God said to Jonah, go down to Nineveh and preach against them. Jonah knew something very interesting about God. When God gets like that, he's looking for a way of escape for them. When God starts talking about preaching things and all that, he wants people to escape. So Jonah knew that, he knew the nature of God. So he said, I'm not going to go and preach, because if he preach, they will repent and they won't suffer what they should suffer for killing Israelites. Oh, I'll show you today. So Jonah ran away so that God could pour out his anger on them. Now, all that battle on the sea and storms that God originated was to save life. You hear me? So if you just see Job, God running away from Job. No. Job running away from God. It's actually God trying to get his compassion not to fail in Nineveh, so that he could round them up and get them to repent. And this boy is not acting. He knows my way. He wants to block my way. I'm going to get him out of the way. And sent him down. Finally, he came down to Nineveh and he preached. And they all repented. But he displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he became angry. That's not what he wanted to happen. Are we here today? So what happened? Let's read it and close. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, was not this what I said when I was in my country? You are getting the story now. Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. When you are threatening, you are actually having inner desire for them to turn around and escape. You got it. You know this now. When you are threatening your kids, you really don't want to promise them. No, I'm going to tip to particle my year. You just want it to turn. Am I right? You know, he knows that. Next verse. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me. For it's better for me to die than to live. You know the meaning of this? Lord, if I preach and they get repent, when I go back to my country, what will I tell them? You preach and they repent in Nineveh and they will not suffer for their sins they have committed against Israel. You are a traitor. Am I right? You are not patriotic enough. Lord, let me just kill me here. Let's look at what happened. I love this. Let's keep reading. The Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Come and see the answer. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see. He was still convinced that somewhere, our guy is saying, I heard before, blessed the moon. That's judgment. Agree. So he was sitting there waiting for Nabonidus City. Come on, if you want to close this service today, let's close with this story. Look at it. The Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. For Jonah was very grateful for the plant. He was in the desert, he was there. That thing just grew and covered him. He was so happy. Next verse. But as morning dawned, the next day, God prepared the worm. You know, sometimes this kind of thing amazes me. Of course, we're very busy with the universe. Are you hearing me? You should be busy running Jupiter and Saturn and Milky Way and Andromeda galaxies, and it's preparing a worm. Huh? To teach Job a lesson. What a God. So personal. Wow. Because no, some people tell me, Pastor, I know you are busy. No, I'm not busy. To attend to life. What are you guys over there? He's a doctor. Well, see, something that's between us. Sometimes we leave service and go. Why? Because it's important. It's not busy. It's here for life. So damage the plant. That we did. Next verse. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Odaku. Then he wished death for himself and said, the guy liked to die quickly, sha. He likes dying. We to die than to live. Just as you kill him before. Next verse. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry. Even to death. Next verse. The Lord said, you have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night. Overnight and perish in the night. This is the last verse. This is the last verse in the book of Jonah. So let not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left. And what? God remembered the goats. He remembered the sheep. Remember their cats and their dogs. Wow. 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 God is sad when we are hit and banged. Every time you are depressed and sad and oppressed, God feels it. God knows it. God knows your pain. God knows. You know, one of the things that helped me over the years is when I'm feeling terrible, when I'm feeling bad, I know I can have companionship in God. I know he knows where I am. He knows what I'm passing through. He knows. And I just know that I'm not alone there. Praise God, somebody. When I succeed, I go to him. I know he's my greatest admirer. I know that. God's clapping for those wicked Ninevians that they repented. How much more for us, his children? How many of you have heard a man called T.L. Osborne? You know T.L. Osborne? Was Baba before Nebuchadnezzar. He went to go and preach in Mombasa, Kenya. He preached with his wife. They were tired for several weeks. And one day, he was lying on his bed, so tired. And God came. He said, Jesus entered his house without knocking anyway. And he said to him, Tell, thank you for coming to Mombasa. I know what you have gone through. Thank you for coming to come and help these people over here to see the light of God. And disappeared. Look here, if I don't have any reward for anything, that's enough for me. That the Lord of glory, every time you do something good, God's lifting up his eyes and turning toward you. Are you hearing me? That should be the greatest incentive for doing good. That the God of glory. So today, if your phone rings and they said, Tinubu calling from Abuja, we are giving you a National Merit Award. I know you come to church and come and dance. Pastor, they gave me a National Merit Award. And we will all celebrate with you. And you go down there, camera will focus on you because Nigeria is giving you an award. But the Lord of glory is turning toward you. He's giving you a phone call. Thank you for helping that. Thank you for paying for that. Thank you for... If I don't get anything else, that's enough for me. You know why I came here? You know why I come here every Friday, every Tuesday? You know why I come? You know why I come? That's the reason why. God's looking down. for every act of goodness you do, for every help, even that business you are doing, that thing you are making available, that somebody can be happy, somebody can be relieved, somebody can be freed. Can you imagine teaching a class, students, making knowledge available to them so that they can have a future? You think it's not spiritual, but God is looking at it. God is watching it. Maybe you are out there providing whatever service you are providing, do somebody is good. God is happy because we are his images. Praise God, somebody. Am I making some sense this evening? So God is not the author of evil. We know who is doing that. Let's close with this. Job chapter 2. You know how we came here? So properties and prosperity, God is for it. The devil is against it. Are you hearing me? When you are doing well, when you are passing your exam, when you are living well, when things are working, when you are there, when you are comfortable, God is happy. God is not mad at you. Hallelujah. You know, in my younger days, I thought God was really for the poor. God wanted all of us to be poor so he can pity us. I came to see that that was not true. That's not true. I came to see that God's not just pitying the poor so that all of us can be poor. He's pitying the poor so that he can raise them up. And he cannot come and do that himself. So he wants to help all of us to help the poor. Are you hearing me, somebody here? He wants us to be able to do things, to be able to see, because God is for us. Amen, somebody, not against us. Let's round up this and then go home. Let's read again. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's no like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God, and sons evil, and still hold fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. Next verse. See, I told you, this thing is absolute evil. He didn't care about all the boys and the girls of Jonah dying, or Job dying. He didn't care about his animals. He brought him down to zero overnight. Kutito. He called him evil genius. He said to the Lord, skin for skin, yes. All that a man has, he will give for his life. Next verse. Stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. It's because he's, yeah, he can do that, but what about his life, his physical life? What did God say to him? The Lord said to Satan, behold, it's in your hand, but spare his life. See, you are contesting here, perfect man here. It should have stand, it should have be like Adam for us today, if he had won the contest, but he couldn't win. Next verse. Please, everybody look up here. Read this verse. I'm talking about devil's works. Satan went out from praying the Lord and struck who? Job with what? Painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Next verse. And he took for himself a pot's head which he went to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. I want you to see something today. The devil is against your prosperity and your health. Your properties, your stuff. No wonder this verse is our mantra in our church. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Those are the two germane critical things with our lives. We can't live well when we are sick, and we can't live well when we are broke. Nobody is happy when they are sick. Nobody is happy when they are not doing well. Even children in school will say, I pass, and they fail me. I said, they fail me. You know, damn failed me. I didn't fail. Next verse. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. You know what? Don't blame her. Okay, my wife, if my wife finds me in any kind of shape, she goes berserk. Hallelujah. I must not be down. My wife, there, you can't be down. She'll be there, do everything to see that I get back. And he's saying that if God is doing this to you, let's curse him. Maybe if we get him out of the way, all this trouble will stop. He said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? Shall we not accept adversity? Job didn't have all we know today. All Job knew was that God is out there, you know, by the devil. But it broke him. What broke him? Let's round up with this. Next verse. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all his adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. Next verse. And when they raised their eyes from afar, they recognized him. They lifted their voices and wept. Think, the greatest man in the East, the richest man. Can you imagine Dangote becoming a beggar at Sabo Abeokuta? Everything lost. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for so that his grief was very great. Yeah, he didn't curse God, but he was in grief. That's what the enemy will do. But thank God we have the victory in Jesus. We are different now. Now, notice something. Can I close like this? I want to close this. Next week we'll get into it. I'll talk about why the devil did what he did, what actually caused him to do what he was doing today, probably next week. But I want to close like this. Notice that when Job got to heaven, when Satan came to God's presence, God spoke for Job, but Job was not there among them. Job had no voice there. Are you hearing me? Beside God, nobody else was defending Job. I have the news for you. You have a voice in heaven now. They are not talking about you up there without your input. Do you hear me? Can I close with that? You see, Job was outside the whole issue. Everything was finished about his life without him knowing about it. But let's close with this. Back to chapter 12, book of Revelation. Let's close. My time is up. I'll give our offering. Job, sorry, 12 Revelation. Can you run down to verse 10? Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. What is the voice saying? Now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Who is our accuser today? The devil. Now, he's doing that accusation before God. Remember Job? He had no voice there, right? But we are different. We have it right now. Look at this verse. He didn't say, and they, our brothers, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. He loved their life to death. You know that? Now, Job was in his house pleading and trying to follow God. We are not in our house. We are in the throne room. Praise God, somebody. We are kings and priests, and we have authority in Christ Jesus. His blood was shed for us, and we have a voice. Who will let our Father answer him? From this verse over here, we say, Daddy, Ejoku, we will handle him. See, he was accusing the brethren, and he's talking about the brethren. He's talking about us before God, and God is saying, Tunde Amosum, will you speak up? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I said, they overcame him. So you're going to have to enter that court case now, because you have a lawyer inside of you. His name is the Holy Spirit, your advocate. And you have somebody there, your senior brother, Jesus, on the throne with the Father. And then you can pick up the Bible and said, it is written. This is the word I know. I believe this. And the Bible says, you will overcome that accuser. Are you hearing me? They overcame him. Say that with me. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. See, Job had an inkling of this as I close. Job had an inkling. Every time his children go for feasting, what will he do? He will kill, shed the blood of an offering. We have the best blood already shed. Not of a goat, but of God's son himself. And so you can, on the basis of legality of your redemption, you have a right to every promise here, and you should stand up in your room and say, Satan, my father won't talk to you. I will talk myself. He's giving me authority by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm telling you, you are not having your way here. My father will bless me at your expense. My father will increase me at your expense, and I hold on to my father no matter what happens. Is that okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? You know what? The greatest joy you can give to God is to get up in that throne room and say, Dad, I know what you did for me. That rat won't keep on talking like this. I know you killed your son for my sake. I know you did everything. You blessed me. And this blessing cannot be taken from me because my father loves me with everlasting love. And the proof is this blood speaking better things in the throne room. Praise God, somebody. Amen. And even if I sin, it's been forgiven and cleansed by the blood. Praise God, somebody. So even if he has cases against us, we know we have not done well, but we have somebody, our advocate. 1 John 2 verse 1. Let's round up. Praise God. We close. We go home now. Give our offering. 1 John 2 verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Full stop. But is that the end of the passage? And if anyone sins, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Job didn't have that. Praise God. Job was perfect, but his perfection could not deliver him. We are not perfect, but his blood delivering us. Am I making some sense today? Look at next verse. And he himself, Jesus, is the propitiation. Etutuese. Etutu. We don't call it etutu. You know, let me finish etutu. Etutu. For not for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So even if I messed up, it's not the devil's mouth to talk me down. My father has made all preparation to take care of me. Oh, I know I'm going to fall. I know I'm going to make mistakes because I'm not perfect, unlike Job. But I know somebody who is behind me. Now somebody said, Pastor, why is the devil like this? Next week we'll find out. Is that right? So you know what you're dealing with. Pastor, why can't you just pity the devil and welcome him? Next week we'll see that. All right. What's the sin of the devil? Why did he do like this? We'll find out next week. We are taking some journey to just come. You know where Matthew 4, remember? We're just taking just one father by the tempter. Let's give our offering. Praise God. Oh, I've been blessed tonight. What about you? Really been blessed tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give our offering. Any meeting during the week? No. Okay, Friday. We have. Is it first Friday of the week? The month? No, it's not. First Friday of the month? No, it's not. Okay. All right. Can we give our offering? Can we sing a song? I am grateful. Oh, for Jesus, the blood. I am grateful. Oh, hallelujah. For all you have done for us. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. As we go home, let's think on this verse to summarize what you have been saying today toward the end of this service. 1 Peter 5. Verse 8, as we go home, think about this verse as you sleep tonight. Let it just kind of put it together. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about. Remember I said he was walking up and down the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. What should you do? Next verse. But resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced as brotherhood in the world. I hope we'll get to that next week very well. And when you resist him like that, when he's accusing you, what will happen at the end of the day? Verse 10. Let's sit together, everybody. Let's go. But may the grace, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Let me hear your voice now. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It's just for a while. It will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. Let's go home. Get up on your feet. I am grateful for the blood of Jesus. I am grateful. Oh, hallelujah. For all you have done. For hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands and say, Father, I receive the blood of the Lamb as my victory. The blood of Jesus is my victory. The sacrifice of the Lamb of God is total for me. I can't defend myself, so I plead the blood. The blood is my edge around me. The edge around me is the blood. I welcome the efficacy and the effectiveness of the blood. In my going out and my coming in, I depend upon the everlasting covenant in the blood of the Lamb. That blood is enough for me tonight. I claim victory over every area. Not in my own power, but by the power of the blood. And Satan, I overcome you by the blood of the Lamb. And I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and you have been overcome at the cross. Thank you, Father. Now tell yourself, whatever things coming against you, whatever skirmishes right here and there, tell yourself, I have the victory. I have the victory. By the blood, I have the victory. Whatever is ahead of me, whatever is around me, whatever is behind me, taunting and threatening, I declare the blood. Praise God. The blood of the Lamb. Praise God. The blood is speaking better things in the throne room. And that blood is speaking on my behalf. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the future ahead of me. Even beyond this life, the blood is speaking for me, everlasting blessing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let's share the grace together. The grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now. Tell somebody beside you, surely goodness and mercy. Tell them, thank you for coming.